إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا، أما بعد. It's a pleasure always to welcome all of you in our classes. Tonight, as on Mondays, we continue reading from Al-Mulakhas Al-Fiqhi. Al-Mulakhas Al-Fiqhi, this is a class of fiqh, and we're still reading from Al-Mulakhas Al-Fiqhi of our noble Shaykh Al-Allama, Al-Doktor Salih bin Fawzan, Al-Fawzan, Hafidhahu Allah Ta'ala. Before Ramadan, we finished the chapters of Ramadan, alhamdulillah, of fasting in general. And now, alhamdulillah, we're going to start the other section that comes after fasting, which is Al-Hajj. Kitab Al-Hajj. And alhamdulillah, we didn't plan it. Alhamdulillah, that these chapters, they came in the right time. Because now the Muslims are in the seasons of Hajj, alhamdulillah, Musim al-Hajj. People are, in a month or so, they'll be going for Hajj. So anybody who's trying to go to Hajj, you know someone, this class is going to help them a lot. And it's going to assist them and be of great benefit for those who they may perform Hajj this year, insha'Allah ta'ala. There is different chapters. It's 11 to be exact, in these sections of Hajj. In the first chapter, fil Hajj wa ala man yajib. The Shaykh is going to talk about the Hajj. Its obligation, he's going to mention some of the texts from the Quran and the Sunnah about the obligation of Hajj, and that's a pillar from the pillars of Islam, and on whom it is obligatory to make Hajj. On whom it is obligatory to make Hajj. So the Shaykh Hafidhahu Ta'ala, he said, Al-Hajj huwa ahadu arkani al-Islam wa mabanihi al-idham. قال الله تعالى ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا ومن كفر فإن الله غني عن العالمين. He says Hajj is one of the great pillars of Islam. Is one of the pillars, أحد أركان الإسلام, one of the pillars of Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ali Imran, Shaykh began, we mentioned the ayah 97 in Surah Ali Imran. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا. الحج, the pilgrimage to Mecca, to the house, the Kaaba, is a duty that mankind owes to Allah. Those who can afford the expenses. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. And whoever disbelieves by denying the Hajj, the obligation of making Hajj, then he is a disbeliever of Allah. Then Allah stands not in need of any of the Alameen. Mankind, jinn, and all that exists. قال الشيخ صالح حفظه الله أي لله على الناس فرض واجب هو حج البيت, لأن كلمة على للإيجاب, وقد أتبعه بقوله جل وعلا ومن كفر فإن الله غني عن العالمين, فسمى تعالى تاركه أي تارك الحج كافرا, وهذا مما يدل على وجوبه وآكديته, فمن لم يعتقد وجوبه فهو كافر بالإجماع. He says, so therefore Allah, he says Allah has made Hajj, performing Hajj, obligatory. So it is an obligation to perform Hajj. It's not a choice whether a person feel like to go Hajj or not. It is an obligation. It is obligatory upon the people to perform Hajj. Of course, as we're going to learn later on, once in a lifetime, unlike the Salat, it is an obligation for us to perform the 5 daily prayers every day of our lives. Not just one day or one month. But the Hajj is an obligation once in a lifetime. He said, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the same ayah, when he mentioned this obligation, that is obligatory to perform Hajj, he said, and whoever disbelieves by not performing Hajj, and the Shaykh is going to explain, due to that person not believing that it is obligatory to make Hajj, that's a disbelief, wa iyadu billah. So he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mentioning this ayah, and named the one who does not make Hajj, as a kafir, wa iyadu billah. And he said, this is a proof that performing Hajj is obligatory, is an obligation. And whoever does not believe that for such thing that Hajj is obligatory, then that person is kafir. He's a disbeliever with the consensus of the ulama. If a person does not believe that Hajj is obligatory. ثم قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في سورة الحج وأذن في الناس بالحج. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Ibrahim, his Khalil Ibrahim alayhi salam, he says, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ, and proclaim to mankind the Hajj, the pilgrimage. Call the people to perform Hajj. The Shaykh mentioned from the text, the Hadith, that is collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi and other than him, and he graded it sahih, sound, and Ali radiallahu marfu'an ila al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Ali radiallahu said, and trace it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من ملك زادا وراحلة تبلغه إلى بيت الله ولم يحج فلا عليه أن يموت يهوديا أو نصرانيا. Whoever owns provisions and a ride, a mount that get him to the house of Allah and still did not make Hajj, that person should die as a Jew or a Christian, riyadu billah, as a Jew or a Christian. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم بني الإسلام على خمس شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة وصوم رمضان وحج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا. So we mentioned the hadith that is agreed upon. The Prophet ﷺ says Islam is built upon five: to bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, to establish the prayer, to give the zakat, to fast in the month of Ramadan, and to perform the Hajj to the house of Allah for the one who have the ability to do so. قال والمراد بالسبيل توفر الزاد ووسيلة النقل التي توصل إلى البيت ويرجع بها إلى أهله. The Shaykh says, he explained to us now what is this ability, because the Prophet ﷺ, when he comes to Hajj, he says, for those who are able to do so. How do we understand able? Who's able? Who fits under this ability? He explained, he says, what is intended by being able is anyone who has provisions to perform Hajj and a ride to take him and bring him back to his family. Of course, the Shaykh is going to explain a little bit more later on, but just to mention that we understand here the ability also financially and physically. That a person has to be financially able, as the Shaykh is going to explain later on, and take in consideration that a person should have enough provisions, if it's money for instance, because in our time it's all money, should have enough to take him to the Hajj. And while in the Hajj, because the Hajj you have to be there for a couple of weeks, you don't have to, but now this is what is the case, and to come back and to leave for your family too. If somebody's in charge of a family, you don't just leave him with nothing to go for Hajj. And with that, his debts are taken care of, and anything that he has to pay or the like. Now, Shaykh is going to mention that later on. ثم قال والحكمة في مشروعية الحج هي كما بينها الله تعالى في سورة الحج. So as for the wisdom behind the legislation of Hajj, Allah has mentioned it in Surah Al-Hajj. We have a surah that is called Surah Al-Hajj. It mentioned many of the rulings of Hajj. Likewise, they are mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, rulings of Hajj in Surah Al-Baqarah, and also in this surah, at chapter 22, that is called Surah Al-Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the ayah 128, but we're going to read to you from 120. The ayah 27. ثم ليقضوا تفثهم وليوفوا نذورهم وليطوفوا بالبيت العتيق. And proclaim to mankind the Hajj, the pilgrimage. They will come to you on foot and on every lean camel. They will come from every deep and distant wide mountain highway to perform Hajj. And alhamdulillah, when you see now the Muslims, they come from all over the world, alhamdulillah, to make Hajj. All over the world. Allahu Akbar. Millions. We hear they said like 3.5 million, 4 million. Allahu A'lam. We leave it that way. But a lot of people. Even 3 million, that's a lot of people. A lot of people in one little area. And not only that, but they're all doing the same things at the same time. And everybody's happy doing that. Nobody's complaining. Some people complain, actually. Allah al-Musta'an. And they shouldn't, because subhanAllah, he performing Hajj. Ayna. Maybe a little bit more than some people complaining, to be realistic, okay? Alhamdulillah. But it's amazing, if you made Hajj before, subhanAllah, we just talk about what happened in the past. It's amazing. There's people from all over the place. You're going to see Chinese, Japanese, Koreans, people from Australia, New Zealand, from Russia, from Pakistan, Bangladesh, India, Philippines, from Ukraine, from Romania, Italy, Germany, Poland, Norway, Denmark, Spain, Switzerland, Belgium, Luxembourg, France, Portugal, England, Ireland, Iceland, Finland. And then if you go to Africa, man, it's like from all over the place. People from North Africa, South Africa, Western Africa, East side of Africa, they speak different dialects, different this. In America, people from Canada, people from Alaska, people making Hajj from all over the states. And in, also in South America, it's amazing. It comes from all different directions. All want to perform Hajj, alhamdulillah. And it's a beautiful experience indeed to see the Muslims. Allahu Akbar. And that's a clear refutation against one of the misconceptions that those who are against Islam, they say Islam is only for the Arabs. And so they go to Hajj and you see, who are the Arabs? You gotta look for them with the microscope. You may pass by thousands of non-Arabs, especially from Indonesia, from Malaysia, from China, from Africa, from, they're not Arabs. So where is this misconception come from? To turn the people away from Islam. But in Hajj you find people from Europe, Eastern Europe, Western Europe, South part of Europe, all Africa. It's amazing. From South America, North America, all over the place. Alhamdulillah. Now, and they come to the Hajj, Allah tells us, لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ, that they may witness things that are of benefit to them, i.e. the reward of Hajj, and in the hereafter, and also some worldly gain from trade, because some of them, mashallah, they make money, they make good living. Some people can perform Hajj, but also they indulge in business, which is permissible, as long as they don't make that the purpose. So they're going to make Hajj, but still they can, if they are businessmen or tradesmen, they can do that. And also, not only that these benefits, also they dare to mention the name of Allah on appointed days. If it's the takbir, then it is the 10th, the 11th, 12th, and 13th of the Hijjah. And they do that after slaughtering the animals over the beasts of cattle that Allah has provided for them for sacrifice. It's going to come in detail, this point of sacrifice. It will come in detail, inshallah ta'ala, later on in Hajj. Because this is one of the actions that take place in the 10th of the Hijjah. Hajj starts on the 8th of the Hijjah. And there are some actions that you do on the 8th. Other things you do on the 9th. And when I say things, not just actions of worship, but also places you be. There is a place where you be on the 8th of the Hijjah. And then on the 9th of the Hijjah, you leave that place to be somewhere else. And that night of the 10th of the Hijjah, you're supposed to be somewhere else. And the day of the Hijjah after Fajr, you're supposed to be somewhere else. So it's an exercise, actually, especially for actually walking. It comes to be the best way, you know, especially from Mina to the Jamarat and from Muzdalifah. Otherwise, you'll be waiting for the buses, you get stuck. Yes, you can ride buses from Medina to Mecca, from Mecca to Mina, from Mina to Arafat. But then after that, or from Arafat to Muzdalifah, but after that, subhanAllah, those who have the ability to walk, mashallah. But you be doing a lot of walking. We're talking about miles. In one day, in less than 24 hours, you be walking how much? If you come from Muzdalifah to Mina, Mina to Jamarat, Jamarat you go to the Haram, and then you make Tawaf, and you make the Sa'i, and go back to Mina, dead. That's how can I put it, like, once you make it to Mina, people say, hey, here's some food, you like, you see nothing but your spot. I'm talking about like, wait, 10, 15, 20 miles that day maybe, something like that. Walking. Alhamdulillah. It's a good exercise. So, take advantage. If you're going to Hajj, start walking right now. If you're not doing it already. Especially here, alhamdulillah, you got Star Mountain Park. You can go there and do some walking because it comes handy in Hajj. It will help you. And it's amazing, subhanAllah. Don't you say, man, walking the brother talking about 10 miles? 15, that's a lot. Man, you're going to see some people, old people from Africa, from Asia, I mean in their 90s, when they're walking, they pass us. And subhanAllah, I remember one year, me and a couple of brothers, and we were feeling it. You know, you live in America, subhanAllah, cars, that's not good. Cars are good, but not that good. Because they get you lazy. Everything you do is in a car. Get in a car. Huh? Go get some milk in the car. The store is already around the corner. They got a ride. Now you need to walk. And you need to find some time where you can go do some exercise and do some walking. Cars make you lazy. And subhanAllah, you be walking and you feel it like not even a half mile. People be like, are you sure, akhi, the bus not coming? Akhi, there is no bus. How many times am I going to tell you that? Ain't no bus coming in this neighborhood. They can't. Even if the bus wants to come, can't get in because it's traffic jam. If you think you get stuck in some traffic, wait until you go to Hajj. Now we're going to see the real traffic. And then subhanAllah, we were walking and we were like, yeah, subhanAllah, there gotta be another way. And then we passed by this couple, akhi, from China or from that way. Akhi, they were old. How old they were, like, bent, their backs are bent almost to their knees, and they were rolling. They were walking. And we said, subhanAllah, these people are making it, we can. And we tried to keep up with them, but at least we tried. At least we tried. To tell you, yes, we failed it later on, of course. It's not going to change nothing because you have to be in shape. And a Muslim should be in shape, okay? Not just for Hajj. You gotta be in shape for Ibadah, for do some walking, you know? You have a car, it's good, but drive that car and go somewhere and do some walking, some exercise, some running. Ayna barakallahu feek. Tayyib. So that they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثم ليقضوا تفثهم وليوفوا نذورهم وليطوفوا ببيت العتيق. Then let them complete their prescribed duties, the manasik of al-hajj, and perform their vows and make the tawaf around the ancient house, the Kaaba. قال فالمنفعة من الحج ترجع إلى العباد ولا ترجع إلى الله تعالى لأنه غني عن العالمين. So only the servants of Allah, they benefit from Hajj. Allah does not benefit from what the people do or brings to Hajj. Because Allah is Ghani Anil Alameen. Stands for no need for His creatures. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِحَاجَةِ إِلَىٰ الْحُجَّاجِ كَمَا يَحْتَاجُ الْمَخْلُوقُ إِلَىٰ مَنْ يَقْصِدُهُ وَيُعَظِّمُهُ بِالْعِبَادُ بِحَاجَةِ إِلَيْهِ فَهُمْ يَفِذُونَ إِلَيْهِ لِحَاجَتِهِمْ إِلَيْهِ. So Allah is in no need for these people coming from all of the areas at that particular times. But rather they are in need of Allah. All people come from different countries, different places. Of course some people go through hardship to get there. It's not easy for everybody. And they all come there to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because they are in need. They need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His bounties and His provision. ثم قال والحكمة في تأخير فرضية الحج عن الصلاة والزكاة والصوم. Now the Shaykh, he gave us a hikmah, a wisdom, as related to in the hadith when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Islam is built upon five. The Hajj was mentioned last, it was mentioned after Salat and Zakat and fasting. The Shaykh, he says the reason is as this. لأن الصلاة عماد الدين ولتكررها في اليوم والليلة خمس مرات. Zakat was mentioned right after the shahadatain. This is the imad, one of the main pillars of Islam. And also because it is repeated five times in a day and night. Five times in a day and night. Salat. Now, salat, the prayer, it is repeated five times in a day and night. ثم الزكاة لكونها قرينة لها في كثير من المواضع. Then the zakat was mentioned because Zakat is coupled with salat in many, many places in the Quran, many ayats. They mentioned some 83 ayats. Wallahu a'lam. If I'm not mistaken, we in one of the classes, if not the Shaykh or Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, I mentioned some 83 ayats. So inshallah we can check that. Thumma as-sawm litakarrurihi kulla sana. And the mentioning of the fasting, because the fasting is repeated every year. It is obligatory upon us to fast Ramadan, every Ramadan, not just whenever we feel like, but every Ramadan, which is once a year. وَقَدْ فُرِدَ الْحَجْرُ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ سَنَةَ تِسْعٍ مِنَ الْهِجْرَةِ كَمَا هُوَ قَوْلُ الْجَمْهُورِ وَلَمْ يَحُجَّ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِلَّا حَجَّ وَاحِدَةً هِيَ حَجَّةُ الْوَدَاعِ وكانت سنة عشر من الهجرة واعتمر صلى الله عليه وسلم أربع عمر. In the Shaykh, he tells us the year when the Hajj became obligatory. The Hajj was prescribed in Islam in the ninth year of the Hijra, and this is the statements of the majority of the scholars. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he spent 13 years in Mecca. 13 years, the first 13 years of the da'wah, from when he became a prophet, he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, resides in Mecca 13 years. No hajj, in these 13 years was no hajj, no fasting, tayyib. But then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he moved to Mecca, to Medina, from Mecca to Medina. And they, from that year he moved, they start saying this is the first year of the Hijrah, the second year, third, and this. So on the ninth year after the, he spent 9 years, in the ninth year of the Hijrah in Medina, the Hajj became an obligation. It was prescribed to the people. And here is the question. How many times the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed Hajj? How many Hajj? Because now you can ask certain people this question, and you see if they can answer. Who knows the answer? How many times the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed Hajj? Naam, one time. And we give you one book. If he says two, we give you what? Now, because he says one time, we give you one book. If he said two, we give you a zero book. Because the answer would be wrong. Jazakallah khair. This is a Fari hadith, not from me, from one of the brothers, Allah khair. May Allah reward him. He says, give him out. Daif. He says, ask the brothers questions, and whoever answers, give him the book. And the Prophet ﷺ, we said he make the Hajj how many times? Once. And how many Umrahs? Once. One time. That says it? Once. Now? Four times. Ahsant. Four Umrahs, the Prophet ﷺ. He made Hajj once. And Umrahs, four times Umrah, barakallahu fiqh. طيب. وما زاد قال إذن والمقصود في الحج والعمرة عبادة الله في البقاع التي أمر الله بعبادته فيها. This is what is intended by Hajj and Umrah. This is very important now to remember. Because some people, they just go for a trip and bring the name Hajji Fulan, Hajja Fulan. So much so that certain people, when they come back from Hajj, they don't want to be called by their regular names. If his name is Omar, for instance, and he come from Hajj, they tell him, Akhi Omar, he's like, hey Omar, I spent all that money for you to call me Omar. Hajji Omar, Akhi. This is a mistake. You didn't go there for names. لا. So that's why the Shaykh he mentioned is very important. Hajj and Umrah is ibadah, is an act of worship. You gotta make sure, make no mistakes about this. When you're about to make Hajj, or you go in for Umrah, this is not a vacation. You're not going just because you want to spend a vacation. Alhamdulillah, you're gonna enjoy yourself. But it's not a vacation. But this is an ibadah, because this is an act of worship that you're gonna go perform for Allah. And because this act of worship, which is Hajj and Umrah, they are performed in specific places. You cannot go to Texas for Umrah. You just can't. You cannot go to Cairo, Egypt for Umrah. You cannot even go to Riyadh for Umrah. You cannot even go to Medina and spend 3 weeks in Medina and come back and say, perform Hajj and Umrah. No, there's no such thing. Because you have to go to some specific places, okay? Go to specific areas. I know. Yes, you may hear a lot of people who make Hajj, and those who make Umrah, they go to Medina. It's good, alhamdulillah, since a person already is in there, if they can include to visit Medina, alhamdulillah, to visit the Masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's what you make your intention for. You travel so that you can visit the Masjid. And while you're there, you can give salam to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhumah. You can go to those places that are legislated for us to go and visit, like you go to visit the Shuhada Uhud and the Shuhada of Al-Baqi' when some of the companions are buried in there. And also you can go and perform Salat in Masjid Quba. And other than these places, there is nothing else. So all what some people they do, and they spend money and they take them from this masjid to this cave, to this valley, to this little hill. No. It's not prescribed. It's not from the... But still, Medina, it is not a part of the Hajj, visiting the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ. If a person goes to Mecca, perform Hajj and comes straight home, yes, it's okay. If a person goes straight to Umrah, to Mecca, perform Umrah and come back to his house without going to Medina, it's okay. Because visiting Medina or spending some time in Medina has nothing to do with Hajj and Umrah. It's not part of Hajj and Umrah. But since a person is already there, try. It's better for you to include that in your trip, inshallah, if you can. But it's not a part of Hajj, nor it is a part of Umrah. Then the Shaykh mentioned a hadith, إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ رَمْيُ الْجِمَارِ وَالسَّعِيَ وَالصَّفَ وَالْمَرْوَ لِإِقَامَةِ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, that the jimar, meaning the رَمْيُ الْجَمَارَاتِ, we're going to learn that later on in detail, and sa'i, going between Safa and Marwa, because this is one of the pillars of Hajj and Umrah, and these are mentioned, so they were prescribed for the remembrance of Allah. And this hadith is collected by Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi, but Imam Al-Albani rahimahu ta'ala declared it to be da'if, hadith da'if, hadith that is weak in Sunan Abi Dawood. ثم قال الشيخ والحج فرض بإجماع المسلمين وركن من أركان الإسلام وهو فرض في العمر مرة على المستطيع وفرض كفاية على المسلمين كل عام. He says the Hajj is obligatory, is one of the pillars of Islam. It is obligatory upon every individual once in his lifetime, for the one who has the ability to do so. So this is very serious, because some people, they have the ability physically, they have the money, and instead to go make Hajj, what they do with the money? They go to the safari, they go to the canyons, they go for vacations. Now you have the means to make Hajj, that's supposed to come the first thing. First thing, you have means, you have the ability, and then you have to go. It's not like whenever you want. Especially some young ones, he's 19, 20, 23, 25, they have money, they're strong, they have a lot of money, and instead to go make Hajj, you find them in Europe, spending thousands of dollars in Europe, in China, go, they say they want to visit the China, the wall, the Great Wall. Why do you want to go on the Great Wall? Or the Kaaba? That first come first. Make Hajj first. Some people think like, hey, see, I'm only 23. Doesn't matter if you're 16. You have the ability to make Hajj. Now you are reached the age of puberty, you're able, you have to become from the people that is obligatory upon it to make Hajj. Don't delay. Inam. So he said it is obligatory upon everybody once in a lifetime. Anyone who have the ability should not delay. People, they have money. They just money just sitting, I don't know, in a shoebox or whatever it is. A lot of money. They making good money, certain people. Have business. Some young people, they very smart in the business. I take this. They have money. You made Hajj? No. Why? I'm still young. No. Doesn't have nothing to do with. We don't have no text. Ayah Hadith says you have to be 40 to make Hajj. Once you have the means, physically you're able to travel, and you have financially you're able. Also, the ulama says the path to go to Hajj is safe. Then you got to. You become obligatory upon you to make Hajj. Don't delay. And also, the Hajj is it become a communal obligation upon all the Muslims every year. So you got to be some Muslims that make Hajj every year. But as for individuals, then once in a lifetime. That's why we have, you understood this, the ulama, they call it Fardu Ayn wa Fardu Kifaya. Fardu Ayn is, who can explain Fardu Ayn? What is a Fardu Ayn? Naam Hassan.
Fardu Ayn is obligatory on every individual.
Give me an example of Fardu Ayn.
The Salah, the five obligatory Salahs.
The five obligatory Salahs, okay, and the communal obligation?
Fardu Kifaya means that someone from the community has to do it in order for the rest of the community not be blamed.
An example?
The example is calling the Adhan.
Calling the Adhan, Ahsant, Mashallah. So that's what is the difference. Fardu Ayn, meaning it is obligatory upon every person. Like he mentioned the Salat. The five obligatory prayers, it is obligatory upon every person to pray. It's not like in a family, if the father pray one, then it's okay. The rest of the family don't have to pray. Even though this misconception is found within some families. You find the wife don't pray, the children don't pray. This guy is 29, the other one 27. They don't pray, and they know they don't pray. Why? He says, well, the father pray. The father prays enough. That's, look how subhanAllah said people have these beliefs. But praying, likewise fasting Ramadan, is an obligation upon every person to fast who have the ability. It's not like if somebody fasts, half of the community are fasting, it's okay for the others not. No, everybody should fast. A communal obligation is something that is not obligatory upon all the Muslims to do it one by one. But if one of them, or in some cases, couple of them, a group of them perform it, it's okay. As Brother Hassan, he mentioned the Adhan. One person called the Adhan. Not everybody in the masjid called the Adhan. That's a communal obligation. Another example of a communal obligation? Naam? Ahsant. Yeah. Salatu al-janazah. Performing the funeral prayers. It's not obligatory upon all the Muslims in the area to come leave what they're doing and come and perform the funeral prayer. If a group of the Muslims took care of it, it's enough. Even though there is a great reward, remember, great reward in attending the funerals, processions, especially if both the prayer and the burial. There is a great reward in doing so. Now, وما زاد على حج الفريضة في حق أفراد المسلمين فهو تطوع. So performing Hajj is an obligation once in a lifetime. Anyone who has the ability to do so, they have to. Don't delay. Who says I'm young, I gotta go visit Europe. I heard about Rome, it's a beautiful place. Paris. Rome, what are you talking about? You gotta go to the Kaaba, perform Hajj first. You go to Hajj. So it is obligatory to perform Hajj once a lifetime. And this information is, you'd be amazed that some people don't know this information. Some youth, mashallah, they got money, they make some good money. They drive nice cars, and they have money, and they saved. And then they didn't make Hajj yet. Why? They're like, I'm still young. Some other people, shaitan play with them a trick. You know what they think? These people, they even break it down a little bit. You know what they say, Umar? He's 25 and he has money. Good job. They can make Hajj. Not just once, every year if they want. But then they're like, no, they're not going now. When? When they're 50 or something. Why? You think why? They say because the hadith says whoever perform Hajj rightly come back from Hajj clean from the sins, like what? Like he just came from the womb of his mother. He says, look man, still young, make Hajj, come back and commit more sins. Just wait until how old will be. It just doesn't work like that. Does not work like that. The Muslim adheres to the texts. The Muslim doesn't come with these things, doesn't take this route. The Muslim, he adheres to the text of the Quran and the Sunnah. The Muslim who wants to be upon the haqq, and he wants to be upon the truth, upon the path that leads to the pleasure of Allah, he adheres to the texts. The same thing, you know, that person can say, oh, he wants... We hear that before, some youth tell them, Akhi, pray, come to the masjid. They're like, Akhi, come on. They're still doing a lot of bad things. So now they don't want to pray right now because they're going to start praying when they are straight, when they give up all the haram, now they're going to pray. SubhanAllah. No. The believer, he adheres to the commands of Allah and the commands of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Hajj is going to help you, alhamdulillah. Because you're going to go to Arafat and make dua. You're going to make dua while you're making tawaf, while you're making sa'i and umrah. And especially if you go to Hajj with a good group, good people that will take you to the ulama, and you will sit and have classes, you have questions to answer, you hear guidelines, mashallah. Ayna. So all the youth now that are listening to me, I'm not even going to ask you this question to raise your hand who didn't make Hajj yet. You know if you didn't make Hajj. But then I'm not going to ask you how much money you make. None of my business. You don't have to tell me that. Okay? But I'm telling you, if you have the ability to make Hajj, you start packing your clothing right now. And now, you got to make that trip. But you never know, you may be afflicted by a sickness, a disease, whatever, and you couldn't go. And you might lose that job, you might lose that business. And it happened to certain people before. You know, some people even die. Car accidents. While people are performing Hajj, they die in a car accident. While having the ability to make Hajj and they didn't go. That's a problem. But some people are ignorant, maybe, they didn't know. They were ignorant of the ruling. That's why, alhamdulillah, knowledge is important. So you got to put it on your agenda, Ikhwan. If you have the ability to make Hajj, or you know somebody who does, then tell them, Akhi, need to make Hajj. You have your passport, you have the means to go and come back. Especially some young ones, they have the means, they don't even have responsibilities, some of them. Some they don't have a lot of responsibilities. Some they still live with their parents. Some they still single. Or they just married. And it's easy for them to make hajj, but they wait until they have 5-6 children. Now then, who's going to sit with the baby? Who's going to babysit? And who's going to do that? Oh, the hajj comes in a class, in a school season. Oh, I can't, who's going to watch my kids to school? You're still young. Just you. You don't have to worry about anything else. Go make hajj. Go make hajj. If you have the ability to do so, make the hajj and no delaying when it comes to this one. No delaying. Don't say, I'm still young. Once I be 40, 50. No. Go make hajj. Because Allah says, the one who have the ability to do so. قال وأما العمرة فواجب على قول كثير من العلماء بدليل قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم لما سئل هل على النساء من جهاد قال نعم عليهن جهاد لا قتال فيه الحج والعمرة رواه أحمد بن ماجه بإسناد صحيح وصححه الإمام الألباني رحمه الله تعالى كما في صحيح ابن ماجه كما في سنن ابن ماجه. Also the Sheikh, after he mentioned the Hajj, that is obligatory to make Hajj for the one who have the ability to do so once in a lifetime, he says the likewise, the same ruling for Umrah. Umrah is wajiba as well. The majority of the scholars, many scholars, they held this opinion, that also performing Umrah is obligatory. And he mentioned the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he asked, once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, is any jihad upon women? Is there is a jihad upon women? He says, yes, upon them a jihad that there is no fighting in it. Doesn't involve any fighting, and he says there is hajj and umrah. This hadith is collected by Imam Ahmad and Ibn Majah, and Imam Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala said that this hadith is sahih. It's sound. قال الشيخ صالح حفظه الله وإذا ثبت وجوب العمر على النساء فالرجال أولى. He said if the umrah now by this hadith is established that it is obligatory upon the women, so the men are more so. It is obligatory upon them in the first place. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم الذي سأله فقال إن أبي شيخ كبير لا يستطيع الحج والعمرة ولا الظعن فقال حج عن أبيك واعتمر رواه الخمسة وصححه الترمذي. Also, he mentioned in a hadith that Imam Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala authenticated in Sahih Abu Dawood, in Sunan Abu Dawood, that a man asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, verily my father is an old man and he cannot perform Hajj and Umrah because he cannot travel. Father is old man, cannot travel. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, perform Hajj and Umrah on behalf of your father. He said, both Hajj and Umrah. He said, perform Hajj and Umrah on behalf of your father. قال فيجب الحج والعمرة على المسلم مرة واحدة في العمر لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم الحج مرة فمن زاد فهو تطوع. So he says, it is obligatory therefore to perform Hajj and Umrah upon the Muslim once in a lifetime. One time. One Hajj and one Umrah, that's what is obligatory. Because the Prophet says in this hadith that is authenticated by Imam Al-Albani in Sunan Abi Dawood, he says, Al-Hajj Marrah. Hajj, performing Hajj is obligatory once. And whoever goes more than once, then it becomes an optional for him. It's counted for him as an optional act of worship. Now, Allah. قال الشيخ حفظه الله وفي صحيح مسلم وغيره عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه مرفوعا أي قال الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم أيها الناس قد فرض عليكم الحج فحجوا فقال رجل أكل عام فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم لو قلت نعم لوجبت ولما استطعتم. Also the Sheikh mentioned a hadith that is in Sahih Muslim and other than it on the authority of Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, O people, Hajj has been prescribed upon you. Therefore, perform Hajj. Then a man says, every year, the Prophet ﷺ says, if I said yes, it become obligatory upon you every year, and you will not be able to do so. ثم قال الشيخ حفظه الله ويجب على المسلم أن يبادر بأداء الحج الواجب مع الإمكان. ويأثم إن أخره بلا عذر ويأثم إن أخر الحج بلا عذر لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم تعجلوا إلى الحج فإن أحدكم لا يدري ما يعرض له رواه أحمد. The last point we mentioned in this class and is that the Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan حفظه الله تعالى he says it is obligatory upon the Muslim to hasten to perform the Hajj. That is obligatory upon him, meaning that once a lifetime. The Muslim has to make it priority to perform Hajj as soon as possible, if they have the ability to do so. And the Shaykh says, and a person, a Muslim, is a sinful, committing a sin if he delay the Hajj without a valid excuse. If a person delay performing the Hajj, not having any valid excuse, that's a sin. And of course, you should ask the ulama, what is a valid excuse? A valid excuse is not anyone come with his own idea of valid excuse. Ask. So he says, and a Muslim is a sinful, if that person delay the Hajj without valid excuse. Prophet ﷺ says, hasten unto performing Hajj, meaning that which is obligatory, the Hajj that is obligatory, because one of you does not know what may come his way. As the ulama, when they mention, they mention because now a person is healthy, young, having the ability to do so. If they delay, you never know what may happen to them next year or the year after that. They may go broke, they may go sick, they may even die. So it's very important for us, Ikhwan, to adhere to these guidelines of our noble scholars, in the light of them, explain to us the text of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We continue, inshallah ta'ala, next Monday. Hada wa sallallahu sallam ala Muhammad ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathiran.